As we gather here this morning to worship, to wait upon our God, we come with our own concerns, anxieties, our own needs. But we come to a God who has said there is the manifold grace of God sufficient for our every need. And that word manifold sums up white light. That's basically what it means. White light is made up of all our basic colours, no matter which, it's there for you. And that's the essence of God's grace. It might be one word, but for whatever need we have, God's grace is there and is sufficient for us. Locally, as a family, as a nation. Let us come together and worship our God then this morning by singing the words of Psalm 50. Psalm 50, the mighty God the Lord hath spoken and did call. The earth from rising of the sun to where he hath his fall. From out of Sion Hill, which of excellency and beauty the perfection is, God shine gloriously. Our God shall surely come. Keep silence shall not he. Before him fire shall waste, great storms shall round about him be. Unto the heavens clear he from above shall call, unto the earth likewise, that he may judge his people all. To gather let my saints unto me gathered be, those that by sacrifice have made a covenant with me. These five stanzas from Psalm 50, the mighty God the Lord has spoken.
Keep silent, shall not.
Let us now call on the name of our God in prayer. Let us all pray. Our Lord and our gracious God, stillness becomes us as we seek an audience with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We seek to summon every part of our being, every ounce of our energy and our enthusiasm, to bless thy name, all that is within us, to praise thee and worship thee, for thou indeed art not only the God enthroned in the heavens, almighty in the rule over all of the earth, but thou art also the God who ministers and nourishes thy people as lambs along life's journey. So many different experiences they go through. And thou art the great shepherd there to be with them for every experience and eventuality. Who is a God liketh unto thee? Not only pardoning the sins of thy people, but thou dost have abundant and fulsome rich blessings in store for us. And we have a sample of them even as we are still pilgrims upon this earth and on the Christian way. For the fullness is yet there before us as we enter into glory. As we see face to face the one whom we trust and follow even here and now. We ask of thee, Lord, that thou wouldst grant unto us at this time a meeting with thyself. Protect us, O Lord, from any intrusion of things round about us. Keep us focused upon the things that are at the front of our minds as we here gather. We ask of thee, O Lord, our God, that thou wouldst give to us understanding of thy word and of thy dealings with us in providence. And that we might lay ourselves at thy feet, looking to thee as we have in the past, for thine help, meet and necessary for us in our need. O Lord, our gracious God, as we come together then this morning, we come with a voice and with the sorrow of death round about us, of passing on a very local scale, and of passing on a national stage. And we pray, Lord, that for one and for all, thou wouldst be a source of comfort. Thou hast said that thou art the comfort to the orphan and to the widow. And we pray for that ministry to be known and felt amongst us and abroad from us here today. May thy blessing be upon the preaching and heralding of thy word, the solemnity of our occasion, bringing it home to us with more and more power and efficiency. We ask of thee, Lord, our God, that thou wouldst speak to us a word of life even this morning. There are so many round about us. We see it so displayed upon TV screens for us constantly, the mourning and the sadness. But we would lift our eyes to thee, our God, for thou indeed art the source of eternal life for as many as trust in thyself. Putting our hope and our confidence upon the cross and the great transaction that took place there, dealing with the sins of thy people and bringing upon them the bestowing of eternal life, pardon and peace and forgiveness. And so, Lord, we pray that these very qualities might be again uppermost in our minds and be the experience of our soul as we wait upon thee here again. We ask of thee, Lord, to visit each and every home here gathered and represented from our community. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst set us alone and apart from those who are beside us, that we might be aware that our dealings are with thyself alone. We ask of thee, our Lord and our God, thy blessing upon the preaching of the word throughout our land and our nation this day. We have strayed far, far from thyself. We do that which is right in our own eyes, and we do our own thing, and we go our own way. And we think that that is going to be the path of blessing and success and peace for us. And the great experiment of life comes to the same conclusion at the end of it all. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. So we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst turn us back to the path we've abandoned as a nation and as a people. And we pray, Lord, that we might know what it is to walk gently but comfortably in thy presence. That we might know what it is to be at the centre of thy will and purpose for us. And that we might know, O Lord our God, thy ministry to us along life's path. So hear us, our God, as we come to worship thee and to wait upon thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst make thyself known to each and every one of us, dealing with us constantly in thy grace and magnifying thy love. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We continue our worship singing this time from the words of Psalm 77. And singing from verse 7 through to verse 12. Forever will the Lord cast off and gracious be no more. Forever is his mercy gone. Fails his word evermore. 'Tis true that to be gracious the Lord forgotten hath. And that his tender mercies he has shut up in his wrath. Questions that arise in extreme need in the heart and soul of many people. And then the answer in verse 10. Then did I say that surely this is mine infirmity. I'll mind the years of the right hand of him that is most high. Yes, I remember will the works performed by the Lord. The wonders done of old by thee I surely will record. I also will of all thy works my meditation make, and of thy doings to discourse, great pleasure I will take. Psalm 77, 7 through 12, forever will the Lord cast off. Our reading this morning is from the New Testament and the letter to the Hebrews. And we're reading from the beginning of chapter 2 to verse 13 of chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 2 at the beginning. Let us hear and read the word of our God. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thine hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honour than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Amen, and may God add his blessing and grant to us understanding in that reading of his own holy word. We continue our worship, this time coming to the words of Psalm 62, and from verse 8 to 12. Ye people, place your confidence in him continually. Before him pour ye out your heart. God is our refuge high. Surely mean men are vanity, and great men are a lie. In balance laid, they wholly are more light than vanity. Trust ye not in oppression, and robbery be not vain. On wealth set not your hearts, when as increased is your gain. God hath it spoken once to me. Yea, this I heard again, that power to Almighty God alone doth appertain. Yea, mercy also unto thee belongs, O Lord, alone, for thou rewardest, for thou according to his work rewardest every one. 62 from verse 8, ye people, place your confidence in him continually. Come back with me to the portion of scripture we read there a moment ago, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 7. Wherefore, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. One little thought, it is just quite literally as we were in the vestibule waiting there. confirming this section and this text for this morning. They haven't turned on the calendar from August in the back place there. And the text for August is Psalm 95, which is exactly this quote from the book of Psalms, confirming the text for this morning, in my mind at least, and judgment. Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. There are many people today going to church. It means nothing great to many of them. For some of them at least, they go because it's part of their culture. It's the habits of a family. They want just to keep their options open for weddings or for funerals. So many different motivations for going to church. But we need to correct that kind of approach and thinking. Because here we gather, and others like us throughout our land, we gather here to meet with our Lord and our God. And we need to be prepared for all that that means and the consequences that come from our gathering. What is our need of today? That's a question that is particularly focused because of the events of this past week. But we need, like Isaiah chapter 6 tells us, we need to be confronted with the greatness of our God. We need to acknowledge his sovereignty, to recognize his character as being holy, and the consequences of that for sinners as ourselves. But we also need to weave into that very picture. Our God has got and has given to us here this morning the options and the offerings of forgiveness. As in Isaiah 6, the coal was applied to his lips, burning away the sin that was there. And through the faith in Christ Jesus, we also can have our sins removed and dealt with. A God of majesty, a God also of mercy. And in Psalm 85 at verse 10, you find all the qualities of God perfectly weaving and meshing together. We read there of mercy and righteousness kissing. That's the quality of our God, his character, the way he is and the way he deals with us. Nothing short of perfection. We need that righteousness to appear before him. We need to be clothed in the wedding garment which is suitable for the audience with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the only way we can have that righteousness is by listening to the message that he has given and proclaims in our hearing here this morning. And I can recruit your memory to it that you've heard it so often before. Every one of us has heard this message of salvation in Jesus Christ. Nothing more needs to be said. Nothing more needs to be added. We all of us know what the gospel is about. We are sinners. We are informed sinners. So the question is, what are we doing with what we've got? What are we doing with what we've got? That's the important question of the hour. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. I want to break down this text into three, four simple thoughts as a skeleton on which we can hang our own details of our own life. First of all, I want us to think of the solemn occasion. Secondly, I want us to think of the special duty. Thirdly, of the specific time. And then lastly, of the spiritual danger. The solemn occasion, the special duty, specific time, and the spiritual danger. Press the rewind button back to the beginning. The solemn occasion. What is the solemn occasion of our gathering as it is described for us here in our text? We have here the quotations from the Old Testament, but they're given to us in a very, very unusual way. To the beginning of this chapter 3, it is Moses that is spoken of. But when we come down to verse 7, the emphasis is given to us on the divine author. As the Holy Ghost says, it is God speaking to us here this morning. Nobody in between, just you and me, alone before and with our God. That's the solemnity of the occasion he gathered this morning. How does he speak to us? He speaks to us through this book you've got in your hand, our scriptures. We always try to play a game with our Bibles, don't we? We try to avoid the challenge that God sets before us. We try to play down the intrusion of his word to test and to challenge our lives. We can say, that's only David speaking in the Psalms. Or we can say, that's only Paul writing a letter to the church in Corinth or in Rome or in Philippians. Yes, we can try to avoid that audience and the solemnity of the occasion. But we've got to beware. We've got to beware of trifling with what God says. God is patient and God is long-suffering to you and to me. But the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. Perhaps I've quoted it. There's no harm in repeating it. But if you go back to the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 25, that chapter speaks of and represents God as somebody who gets up early in the morning to attend to the business of the day. And he sends his people out to work and to employment. That's the kind of commitment that God makes to bring in the gospel home to you and to me. He gets up early, taking the human analogy. He gets up early to speak and to address to us through the scriptures. The solemnity of what God is doing as he meets with us here. We must not delay, but we always must make haste. Psalm 90 speaks about 70 years, if not 80 years, are given to us. But then that same psalm goes on in Psalm 90, verse 12, to say, we must apply our hearts to wisdom. I always use the illustration when I'm in schools or speaking to young people. What is the wisdom? I've spoken about it. Wisdom is how to react and to respond to a situation you're in. Person who's climbing on Ben Nevis, they're stuck on the crags. They don't know the way down until someone gets right beside them and tells them, well, shift your hand here and shift your foot there and then this way and that way until you get out of the danger that you're in. That's what you do when you're crag fast and the rescue team goes to get you. That is wisdom. It's not sitting in a library reading a book. It's going out into life and living the way we should. Wisdom. And Psalm 90 verse 12 tells us we should apply our hearts to wisdom, to live the way we should. Not just simply for our 70 years and 10 or 80 years, but live in the light of eternity. Mahatma Gandhi was a man who didn't have much possessions. But Mahatma Gandhi had something very important. And because he had so few things, the things that he had were important to him. Mahatma Gandhi had a watch. Because time was important to him. And he always was careful to use it well and fully. So must we. Use our time well. Use our time because it's precious. This solemn occasion where God is speaking to us, he isolates us. Over this past week, there's been so much going on. Our minds are filled with so many thoughts of other places and perhaps one person. But here, God isolates us. We are alone and we are apart. And in the quietness of our service, God is speaking to us. He sets a priority for us. He tells us one thing is needful. That emphasis, one thing, recurs in several different places in Scripture which are so influential and significant for us. When God sets the priority, he says, one thing Mary has chosen. One thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing you've got to do is go and sell and follow me. God sets a priority for us. And he emphasizes what that choice is, again using this figure of the barren fig tree. There he was going down the road and somebody was about to put the spade in and dig the tree out. And the Lord says, hey, wait a minute. Let's give it one more year. Let's spare it just for one more year. It's got no fruit just now, but maybe in the next year it will. And that's what the Lord is saying, perhaps to us. A line has been drawn and we don't know where. But we've got to use our time well and the opportunities that God has given us. And if we don't respond to the spade, digging the ground and putting in the fertilizer, putting in God's word into your life and mine, if we don't respond to the spade, we will soon feel the axe cutting down. God is speaking to us so many different ways in his book, setting our priorities, making emphasis for us. He paints our spiritual character in very vivid colours. And he brings home to us exactly the significance of all of us here gathered. The solemn occasion. But what is, secondly, the special duty of our gathering here? Again, it's set for us clearly. We were simply set for us there in our text. Today, if you will hear his voice, what's the reason for us gathering? We gather here to listen. To listen to what God is saying to us. One of the illustrations that the Bible uses for us is a mirror. And we look into the mirror and we see a reflection of ourselves. But so often we go away and we quickly forget what we saw there in the mirror. So therefore we've got to ask ourselves very carefully this morning, are we listening? Are we taking note of what is happening in our lives? Are we taking note of what God is doing in our lives? The psalmist, so often in Psalm 119, he asks, Lord, give me understanding of what's happening to me. So many things happen to us. And there is a psalmist saying, Lord, I don't make sense of life. I don't make sense of yesterday. I don't make sense of last week. I don't make sense of my life thus far. Lord, give me understanding. Mary was involved in so many wonderful things about the birth of Jesus. She was there, involved, spectating, listening, seeing. And when you come to Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, we're told something very special about Mary. Mary pondered in her heart the things that were happening round about her. Do we ponder? Do we look at and do we listen to what has been happening about us? In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, we're told, hold fast. Don't let things slip. So often we have the saying, the feathers on any kind of water duck, water bird, especially ducks, the feathers don't just simply lie on top of each other. The feathers actually lock together to form a waterproof shield for the duck. And whenever water lands on it, you can see it slipping off so quickly. The question then comes to us, are we holding fast or are we letting go what God is saying to us? Are we listening or are we just hearing? In here, out there. We have to listen to the truth of what God is saying to us. Again, if you go back to the Old Testament, there were clean and there were unclean animals in the Old Testament. And what was the quality that separated them? The clean animals chewed the cud. You would find the cow going out in the field and it would fill its belly with grass. And it would sit down and you'd see it regurgitating it and taking it up and chewing it over again and swallowing it. And it would come up again and they would take the goodness out of it and they would swallow it. They were chewing the cud. Going over and over and over the grass they got to get the goodness from it. That's what we've got to do. We've got to go over and over and over what God has said to us. But we don't like it sometimes. It makes us feel uncomfortable. There's too much light coming into our life. We try to put up the shutters and to put the blinkers on and to put the plugs in our ears. But we can't. Because when we stop it and take them off, God is there at our shoulder, still speaking to us. Speaking to us about the spiritual issues of heaven and of hell. Speaking to us about the things that are important to our soul and our good and well-being. God's message coming to us with all of his authority, all of the truth about our life. God never revokes, adjusts, or rescinds anything that he has said. You find in politics, in our nation, so often you find them, yes, we'll do this. Here is what you've to believe. And then down the line somewhere, well, we'll just put a little bit of a tweak or an adjustment to that. God never does that. Romans chapter 11 says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God doesn't need to change anything because what he tells us is the truth. And God, as he speaks to us, he speaks to us especially about the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks about the way in which he sent his son into this world to die on a cross to obtain forgiveness for his people. That work which was done and it is finished and is perfect and fulsome to meet the needs of every one of you and me. And he is the shepherd that looks after the sheep and calls them to himself. Listen to what he is saying. listen to what he's calling us to be. Special duty. Listen. Don't just simply hear, but listen, and like Mary, ponder it in her soul. So yes, the solemn occasion. Yes, the special duty. What about this third one? The specific time. He says, today. Today. Now is the day of salvation. Let me sit beside you and ask you this question. How many times have you sat in that seat? And how many times have you been in this church? And how many sermons have you heard from this pulpit? How many? How long has it been since you've been coming and going from this place? The Lord now speaks to us in our sunset days, for some of us. We've heard the gospel years and years and years ago. Perhaps it's been a special evangelistic service, or perhaps it's been a communion service and all of the services that go with the communion itself. And something long ago has got underneath our skin. Something long ago has rattled our soul, disturbed our conscience, robbed us of comfort, and made us even scared of meeting God. We're looking at life down the barrels of a gun. Our sunset days. And we've let it pass. How many times has that happened? How many more do you need? You've been given the message. You've had the opportunity. You've been spared to be here time after time after time. How long then are you going to linger on thin ice? Any one of us, and perhaps the events of this past week bring it home to us, any one of us are but a frail breath away from meeting God. Today, seize the moment. Don't just simply let it play on your fingers, but grab it with both hands before hardness sets in. We all of us have this opportunity, but we don't know for how long. If we go back to, is it Matthew chapter 25? Matthew 25, the five virgins, the 10 virgins, five wise, five foolish. And we find there something challenging for ourselves. They made a request that was never granted. They confronted a door that was not opened. And they had a prayer that was never answered. That's the consequence of what's happening here this morning. He's spoken to us. He speaks to us through life. And he speaks to us through death. In the blinking of an eye, the door is closed. But here and now, just for these moments, it's open. Today is the day of salvation. Use it. Let me go back again beside you. You've got your memory. And your memory is like a darkened room. And you trip up over this chair and that table, and you spill the water and you don't know where your tea is. That's the kind of life it is, living in a darkened room. And that's what you're doing with the scripture and the Bible. When the preacher tells you what he says, you're tripping over his text. But you need the light to come into that darkened room, your memory. With all the furniture in place, you know the truth. You've got it there. The light needs to come on, and you'll see, yeah, that's the table, and there's the chair, and I can sit there, and I can have my tea. That's the illustration. Take it. When the light comes on, when God meets us and sheds that light in our soul, we can then make sense of all of these scriptural passages and truths that have been lying up here dormant for years. They now come alive. Today. That's what we need. For God to bring light and life to our soul. Solemn occasion. Special duty. Specific time. Lastly, spiritual danger. I've already mentioned it just briefly in that quote from Matthew 25 and the five foolish virgins. Today, the gospel door is set before us. And from that door, the Lord speaks and holds out his nail-pierced hands to us all. But one day, that door will be closed. Here this morning, we sit in judgment on the Lord Jesus Christ. We sit in judgment and we come to a conclusion. Do I want him or not? Do I need him or not? Do I listen to what he's saying or not? Every one of us is making that judgment. We're all making that call. Every one of us is sitting on the bench judging Jesus. But one day it will all be reversed. And he will be sitting on the bench. And we will be in the dock. And he will be coming to and forming a judgment and opinion about us. And the way in which we have handled the word. A spiritual danger. Don't throw off all the influences that you've been given over these years from the villages, from the family and the community. We've talked about the ducks shaking water. Well, same thing happens when a dog's in the harbour. The dog comes out of the harbour and just stands at the slipway and shakes, throwing off all the water. The harvest, the summer is past. The harvest is ended. And we're not saved. Or we ask, well, I want a sign. I want something to encourage me. I want something, God breaking into my life to do something for me and to give me something substantial that I can hold on to. I want a vision. I want a dream. We've got to be aware. There's nothing more solid or substantial on which we can stand or put our hope. There's nothing more solid and substantial for our soul to rest in than what God has done. God will never be untrue to what he has said. God will never be untrue to the work of his Son. A perfect eternal way has been set before us. What is our response to it? We can either be like the prodigal son, arising and going to the Father. Or on the other hand, we can be like those in the book of Psalms, which puts their head up and sticks their chin out and says, "Who is the Lord over me?" We can be like those in the parable, "I've just got married, please excuse me. I've got cattle to look after, I'm going my way." There's a simple question. There's a simple message. What are we doing with what the Lord has said to us this morning? I've spoken about the prophecy of Jeremiah. And the way in which it represents God rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. Go back this afternoon if you can and read Jeremiah chapter 25. There it gives us, yes, God dealing with us and speaking to us early, early, emphasizing, showing, demonstrating his commitment, his desire and intention. And then we read down to verse 7. Yet you have not hearkened unto me, says the Lord. And then verse 8, it says, Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, I will send and take all the families of the north, and goes on to speak about the way in which God is going to visit the sins of the people of that day with his judgment. And we're not going to be spared either. There are consequences to the decision and judgment we come to hear this morning. There are consequences over time and out into eternity. And on the last day, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, on the last day, when we stand before the throne of God, there in 1 John chapter 2, 28, the image that's given to us is of people who are utterly lost for words. They're stuttering before the grandeur of God's judgment. But those who believe in Jesus Christ have a boldness. They're not lost for words. They're not lost for an argument to deploy before God. We know it all. We know it because we've heard it so often. That simple argument. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust my sweetest frame, the best that I can do. I dare not trust my sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Jesus sent his disciples out to preach and to proclaim this gospel. And when they came back, they were so excited because of the things that they had seen and achieved and accomplished. And Jesus asked them, saying, what do other people say about Jesus? What are other people saying about me? What's the gossip in the street and down at the sheddy? What are people saying about me? And then he turns the question and he says, what are you saying about me? They were put on the spot. And so are we here and now. What are we saying about Jesus? Let us pray. Our Lord and our gracious God, we thank thee for the privilege once again of handling, of coming underneath the preaching of this gospel, of thy grace and of thy mercy and of thy love in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that we might heed what thou art saying to us. Not the voice and the words of men. Not anything that's said by any human instrument or representative. Lord, may we listen to and may we pay attention to the word, the words of our God. Bless us to that end. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're closing this morning by singing from Psalm 17. Psalm 17 and from verse 5 to verse 9. Hold up my goings, Lord, me guide in those thy path divine, so that my footsteps may not slide out of those ways of thine. I call have on thee, O God, because thou wilt me hear, that thou mayest hearken to my speech. To me incline thine ear. Thy wondrous loving kindness show, thou that by thy right hand saves them that trust in thee from those that up against them stand. As the apple of the eye me keep, in thy wings shade me close. from lewd oppressors compassing me round as deadly foes. Psalm 17, 5 through 9. Hold up my goings, Lord, me guide. May grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with